Amen. All right. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I guess the title tonight is just Ministry Involvement Night. And get all my stuff situated up here. Ephesians chapter 4. We passed out the spiritual gift test. We'll get to that in a moment. We haven't done that in a couple of years, and want to encourage everybody to do the test. And so we'll handle that here in just a minute. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. God has placed in Heritage Baptist Church various individuals with various gifts in order that the church would be edified and built up. And so all of us have a place that we can get plugged into. All of us. You say, well, I don't know about... No, every one of us has a place that we can be plugged into at the church. Help wanted. Help wanted. A servant. Someone to do often undesirable work for the sake of others. Needs strong sense of worth in God's eyes and true compassion for others. Must be personally acquainted with the greatest servant of all in order to continue his training. Work requires being on call 24 hours a day to meet the needs of family, friends, and even strangers. Must be willing to give up his rights. No experience necessary. Job begins today right where you are. And we all need to be servants. Amen? Amen. Servants. Servant leaders. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. I pray that, again, we would see the need. And, Lord, that we'd see the work and what's being accomplished. And, Lord, we'd see the need for help and to be a servant in the Lord's house. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about getting involved and ministering, and I love that phrase, and we learned it out at West Coast at Lancaster Baptist Church from Brother Paul Chapel, and that's every member should be a minister. Every member a minister. Every one of us as members of Heritage should be a minister somewhere. Every one of us should be involved in ministry in some area and in some area of the church and in the work. By the way, this is the greatest work on earth. This is much, much, much more important than anything else going on. As we said this morning, eternity is at stake. And whether or not a person is in heaven or in hell, I mean, that's it. And we're here to bear fruit. And we do various ministries and programs and various things in the church to reach out and to do that. For instance, the Fall Festival. We do the Fall Festival, not only that our kids can have a good time, but in order for us to reach out to our community, to be a blessing to them, and to provide an atmosphere for them to come and freely fellowship with us, and we kind of sneak in the gospel through their packet, inviting them to church, and we want to do that. But it is about winning others to the Lord. We spend a lot of money and time and investment in the Fall Festival, and every year we reap benefits for it. Every year the Lord reaps benefits for it. Every year we see souls saved because of it. We see families added. And so that's it, that we're here to do the greatest work on earth, and that is to win people to Jesus. Every member should be involved in winning people to Jesus. Every member should be involved in bearing fruit. In order to do that, first off, you must know that you're saved. You must know that you're saved. There on the second page of your booklet, the booklet. Did we pass out the booklet? How are we supposed to do anything if there's not any booklets passed out? Yeah. Where are the booklets at? I'm sorry. I thought they were passed out already. I'm sorry, Brother Reed. Do we have them? Maybe we can get a couple of guys to help Brother Reed, because he feels lonely back there. Go ahead, ushers. I'm sorry. On the when you get your book, it kind of gives you an outline on the second page. Again, as we think about the number one and steps for serving as a Christian is Christ, and that is that we know Him, that we're saved, that we know Jesus as Savior. If we're going to be teaching others, we must first off have it ourselves, right? And that's pretty simple, but it's true. And then not only should we be saved, but of course we should be growing in our salvation. We should be walking in the Lord and following in His steps, serving Him, growing, being fruitful. Being fruitful in our character, fruitful, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Think about the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says that we ought to have love above all else. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. And then it says long-suffering is love enduring. Gentleness is love's true touch. Goodness is love's character. Faith is love's habit. Meekness is love's self-forgetfulness. And temperance is love holding the reins. And as Christians, we ought to be growing in the Lord, bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so forth, and then the fruit of souls, as we said this morning. So to serve Christ, I'm on the second page, steps of a serving Christian. Number one is Christ, knowing that you're saved, growing in the Lord personally, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and daily walk with Him. That is so important in the Christian life, isn't it? So important. And it's the hardest thing in the Christian life. The hardest thing in the Christian life is to read your Bible consistently and to have a prayer life consistently. And it's something we're constantly working on. Roman number one is Christ. Roman number two is church. Church. In order to be involved at Heritage Baptist Church in the various ministries of the church, there are very few things, but there are some things you can get involved in without being a member, but most of the ministries in the church, you need to be a member in order to participate. And so we would allow a visitor to help with the fall festival, probably. We've done that in the past. But if you're going to be involved in children's church, if you're going to be involved in working, singing the choir, and all of these areas, you need to be a member of the church. And so the second area of steps for serving as a Christian is to be a member of the church. Jesus Christ commanded that not only that we get saved and be baptized and so forth, but he says those that got saved and baptized were added to the church. We all need to be a member of a good church. I'm glad I'm a member of a good church and a member of Heritage Baptist Church. And so encourage you to be a part. By the way, Jesus commissioned the church and not the Red Cross. Jesus Christ commissioned the church and not the Salvation Army. And those are, you know, they're doing a work, but it's not the same. This may sound a little selfish, but when people ask me at the counter at the grocery store, will I give to this cause, or will I, even at Chili's, you know, will I give to this cause or that cause? I don't do a lot of that. I do very little of that. I give my money through the church. It's where God commissioned it, and also where I know it's being spent correctly. I'm surprised many times when you look it up on the internet and find out how much overhead is spent in some of these other so-called nonprofits. And so God commissioned the church. Christ commissioned His church, and we should be actively involved in it. So you need to be a member of the church. Paul and Barnabas were sent out of the church of Antioch. And we've sent Brother Stone out of this church, and we've sent Brother Pugh out of this church, and we're sending the Waltons out of this church, and so forth. But can I just remind you that the church is God's mouthpiece for spreading the gospel. It's God's institution, God's commissioned institution, the church. Number three is consistent. So as you think about serving as a Christian, you need to be saved. You need to be a member of the church. You need to be consistent in your Bible reading and prayer time and church attendance. In other words, if you're going to serve as a Sunday school teacher, then we want you to be consistent in your church attendance and certainly consistent in your Bible reading and prayer time. There should be some growth taking place there. And so we certainly wouldn't want to put somebody in a Sunday school class who wasn't consistent in their attendance. That would be a bad example to those whom they teach. Right? Everybody with me? So that consistency, these serve as an indicator that we might be ready to go another level in our service for Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful." And so as we think about serving Christ, then we need to be found faithful in what we're doing. Why should we be given a responsibility, more so than we have now, if we're not doing consistently what we're doing now? I've seen this sometimes in guys who are called to ministry, where they're in the church, and yet they're doing very little, but yet they want to go be a youth pastor somewhere else. How can you light a fire over there if you're not lighting a fire where you're at? Be faithful in the area where God has put you. Be consistent in the area God has put you, and He will promote you, and He will allow you to move forward in that. Number four is consider where you fit. Consider where you fit. And I promised the guys I would take more time tonight, and I'm going to, in this area. And let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 12 real quick. 1 Corinthians 12. God has placed in the church, you know, evangelists and preachers and those to help and those to minister and to move the church forward, to edify the church, to build up the church, to encourage the members of the church. And if you go on and look here, look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 says, "But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him." Everybody understands that Paul's using illustration, the church as a body. Some are ears, some are eyes, some are hands, some are feet. And so he's using this illustration. Verse 19, "And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary." You know, you think about it. You know, you ever stubbed your toe and had to limp around? You think about just a little toe and how it affects the way you walk. "Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be feeble are necessary." Verse 23, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." And so I still believe this. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to stand before God and give an account and receive rewards. And some of the most, what we would consider insignificant parts of the church and insignificant ministries, what we consider to be insignificant ministries in the church, God is going to reward the most. Some of us that get to stand in front of everybody all the time, we have to watch because we get in the flesh a lot, and sometimes we do it for our own selves and for our own glory, and we won't receive rewards for that. Right? So it's a toss-up, right? Anyway. "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after this miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongue. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all miracle workers, have all the gifts of healing, and do all speak with tongues, and do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, which yet show unto you are more excellent way." And he goes on to chapter 13 to say that love is the best gift. And we know that chapter 13 talks about that tongues will be done away with, and we certainly don't believe that tongues are for today, and the prophecies, and the gifts of healing, and those areas. And so those have been done away with according to 1 Corinthians 13. But the gifts of, they're named here. Look over Romans chapter 12 too. Turn over there with me. Romans chapter 12. So everybody is fulfilling a part in the church. Some are foot, some are toes, so whatever it is, eyes. But all of us are working together. We should edify each other. We should encourage each other. There shouldn't be any schisms. There shouldn't be any problem with somebody having what we may consider a more significant part and some having an insignificant part. That's not the case with God. God doesn't see it that way. Amen? God doesn't see that way. And by the way, I want to just remind you, if you think about it tonight, if those little babies over there were over here, how much would you get to really listen to? I'm so distracted by anything that... I mean, the nursery workers are very, very, very important. Very important. I wouldn't want that job. I've said it. I know I point out Miss Holder and Miss Edie a lot, but I do not want that job. I don't want to teach toddlers during church on Sunday morning. I have no desire to do that. I'm thankful for them. And they're faithful to do that. And teach those 20 to 30. I would pull my hair out, what I got left. I would. And so everybody has a particular spot. In chapter 12, and look with me, look down with me, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, and he that teacheth on teaching, and he that exhorteth exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And again, just going on, all of us have a particular part. The grace of God that's been given to us, the gifts that have been given to us, the talents that God uses have been given to us to be used for the Lord. If you can sing, you should be singing. Right? If you can sing, you should be singing in the choir. Amen the first time. But when I punch it through, you kind of hold up back on me. If you can sing and God's given you that talent, you should be in the choir. Amen. If you can teach and you have that ability, you should be teaching. If you can teach and you have that ability, you should be teaching somewhere in the church. Amen. Amen. Whether it's in Master's Club or Sunday School or Children's Church, you should be teaching somewhere. Man, we could put it down when the rubber meets the road, right? You say, well, preacher, I can't be out in front of anybody. I don't want to do anything out in the open. I'm an introvert, da, 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 da. There's lots of things to do that doesn't require you teaching in front of somebody. There are things you can do up here during the week. I've been trying to encourage somebody, hey, somebody come up here and answer phones. Help us during the week. If you want to volunteer and do something during the week, something anyway. There's lots of things that can be done. But again, consider where you fit in. That little gift test you have, a special gift test. You can take the test, and in your booklet on the back page, you can put your results in it. And then underneath, you can put, I'm interested in following in these ministries. And the following ministries. And on the back, you can also say, put your name down. We haven't done this in a while. We haven't been very consistent in this. I want to make sure this happens. And take the gift test. Put down the results on the front side. Mark the areas of ministries you're interested in. On the back, you'll put your name and phone number and address. And I have experience in the following fields. And write those down. You say, preacher, I filled one of these out before. Fill it out again. And instead of me getting about 15 of these, I'd love to get 150 of these. You know, let's get them filled out. Don't do it while I finish the message, but get those filled out and turn those in. Find a place. Find a place you fit in. So, again, number three is consistent. Consistent. Bible reading, prayer time, church attendance, serving the Lord. And then number four, consider where you fit in. Where do you fit in? Exercise your gift. Exercise your gift. Be a part of the team. Be a part of the team. Be a part of the team. Everyone should be involved. Everyone. Number five, counsel. You say, well, I still don't know where I fit in, or I don't have clear direction. Then get with me. Call me. Email me. Text me. Do not Facebook me. All right? Do not Facebook me. I do not always check the Facebook thingy, my Bobby. But I will check the other stuff. So Facebook me. Get with Brother Wiggins. Him and I, either one of us. And get with him. Set up a time with him. And we'll go through it with you and pray with you about it and where best to use your gift. So set up a time, get direction, maybe from your Sunday school teacher, somebody in the church you respect. Just go to them and say, I don't know, could you pray with me about this and where to serve and where to get connected and where to exercise my gift. Number six is commit. Jump in with both feet. As I said this morning, we should give God our all. Give it your all. Jump in with both feet. It may require that you sign a leadership requirements depending upon what you're doing. And you can read about that in the booklet as well on page 3. And so as we take on leadership in the church in the areas of especially Sunday school teachers in some areas, it requires that you fill out a sheet that says I'm willing to teach and I'm willing to abide by these particular requirements. And again, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so there's some as you grow in leadership, you demand less personal freedom. Anyway, you can read about it. I just don't think a Sunday school teacher should be teaching and who has a tobacco habit. You know, I don't think a teacher should be teaching who's not tithing. I don't think a teacher should be teaching who's not winning souls, who's not bearing fruit. And so these are areas in which we put in place. So jump in with both feet and be a testimony to those around you and those in whom you are leading as Paul was doing so. And man, just jump in. Give it 100%. This is the greatest work on earth. And it requires 100% as we work in the work. I hate to bring up my dad, but I will anyway because it came up this week a couple of times. And my wife even mentioned this, that my dad, when I was a kid, prior to when I was 15, at 15 he became the pastor of the church we were in. And even then he was working in the oil field and pastoring at the same time. He was putting together 3 messages a week. He was working 50 hours a week in the oil field and still making it to our games and doing all these things, still making it to soul winning. I think he slept 2 hours a night. It's amazing. But he gave it 100%. Before becoming a pastor, when I was 15, he was a deacon. He was a children's church director. He was a bus director for a while. He fulfilled, many times he was all those together. Brother Dickerson, right? Kind of had that whole thing where he working a full-time job and involved in the church, doing this and that and that. And so I have someone I look up to who did that as a layperson, as a layman, as I watched him work a full-time job and do this in addition to giving it 100%. I remember going on bus visitation with my dad as a 9, 10-year-old. It's a fond memory for me. And so, yes, all of us are busy. Yes, I have the grand blessing of being the pastor and being paid to be here for certain amounts of time, whatever. But it doesn't excuse all of us from giving it 100% no matter whether we're paid or not paid. Amen? And so we all get involved. And then 7, we commence. Get going. See the difference you can make. There's always going to be challenges, but the rewards far outweigh. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Keeping those 3 and 4 and 5-year-olds in children's church, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. One day we'll stand before the Lord. We'll give an account. One day we'll stand before the Lord and receive rewards for what we've done. And it's worth it. It is worth it to see these folks saved. We've seen a ton of people saved in the last 4 or 5 months. Isn't that a blessing? And it's worth it. It's worth it to see how God continues. People's lives can be changed forever because of you. Because of you. Because of your interest in ministry. Lastly, continue. Just remember, when you enter ministry, when you began to work, that instead of the devil trying to prevent you from ministry, like he was doing, he'll try to render you ineffective. Many times we get into a particular ministry and we have unmet expectations. It's kind of like marriage. You know, before you got married, you thought marriage was going to be this way. Hi, honey. Get up every morning. She looks perfect when you get up, you know? You know what I'm saying? Perfect. Just like you did on those dates. You wake up in the morning, she's perfect, right? Hair's all fixed. Makeup's done. You wake up that morning, you give her a kiss. It's not the same as it was before. Bad breath and all, right? You get married and you think you have a grandiose idea of what marriage is and what marriage is going to be, right? Whether or not your parents had a good marriage or not, you in your own mind have this expectation of what marriage is going to be like. Don't you guys, y'all nod your head, you know what I'm saying. Sometimes we enter ministry and we have this expectation that people are going to be this way and they're going to react this way. In counseling, people will call me and say, "Preacher, I want to meet with you. I need some counsel." I said, "That's awesome. Come on." And I enjoy it. It's what I'm in the ministry for. I like it. And by the way, I like Brother Grice, one of my preacher's friends, who said he's going to start making people pay $200. Yet you have to pay, if you're going to set up a counsel meeting, you have to put down $200 as a deposit. And you get it back if you actually follow my advice. Most people come to counseling not to get counsel, but just to have me reaffirm what they already want to do. And anyway, so that's no other stuff. But anyway, so when you give counsel and you do all these, go through weeks of counseling with somebody and they don't do anything you say, and then they're mad at you about something, and you spend all this time investing in them, I'm telling you, you could become jaded pretty quick. Brother Cox, right? Some of you have been pastoring and others counselors. I think about Miss Linda, who's delved into it now. You could. You could become disappointed and discouraged and never want to counsel anybody again. I'm telling you. And as a pastor, it's the same way. And you'll take a Sunday school class, or you'll take some ministry, and you'll find out that Brother David Obenauer isn't the perfect person you thought he was. Is he even here? I'll pick on him. You know, oh, there's Brother David. Hi. I didn't want to pick on you without seeing you. You know, you're going to find out that Brother Wiggins, I know he's perfect. I hang around him day after day after day. But you're going to find out that Brother Wiggins isn't perfect. You're going to find out that Brother Cox isn't perfect. You're going to find out Brother Clark isn't perfect. You're going to find out, yeah. You're going to find out that your pastor's not perfect. Amen. Amen. And sometimes you have this high, Miss Linda, sometimes you have this very high expectations of everybody, and you think everybody's perfect, and then you get into a Sunday school class and begin teaching, and you find out not only is the leadership not perfect, but your class is something to behold. Just like your wife was after you got married that night, you know what I'm saying? It's just unmet expectations. And the devil will, listen now, the devil will whisper in your ear and say, you know what, if people are like this, I'm just going to quit. If these are really Christians and they're hypocritical like this, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to stop. I'm done. You're not in the ministry for them. You're not in the ministry to please them. You're the ministry to please the Lord. To exercise the gifts that God has given you. I have to remind myself of this all the time. You wonder why I go to preachers' meetings. I want to be preached to and encouraged like you are preached to and encouraged every week. Because I deal with that a lot. And I never want to become the place where I am pessimistic about people. Where I don't give people the benefit of a doubt. Amen? I know a lot of preachers that are that way. I've grown up around them who have become bitter about people. And I pray that never happens to me. And I'm glad we got some preachers in here, even some of these retired preachers, who are not that way. Thank the Lord. But you got to be on guard because Satan will try to get you to do that. So I'm just saying, be careful. Be careful not to get into the ministry and have these unfulfilled, unmet expectations. Because it is going to happen. You are going to find out that the preacher wears jeans and t-shirts, and that's what he likes to wear. You're going to see me at Walmart someday and say, I've never seen the preacher in jeans and a t-shirt. Well, just get ready, because that's going to happen, all right? It happened the other day. Like a lady said, I've never seen you. It's like, yeah, this is me, man. This is me. I don't wear a suit every day. Unmet expectations, the failure of people. And we must be careful as we continue. That's number, whatever it was, 8. Continue, that we continue serving Him in the Lord's power and His grace with His help, and not serving in the flesh. And that's another whole message. And so as we go forward and we think about serving, we should be servants, willing to serve others around us. We must be saved and know it, and that gives us our foundation. We must be a member of the church and being fruitful and understand the church's commission to win people to Jesus. Consistent in our Bible reading, growing in the Lord, considering our gifts and where God has placed us, get counsel. Ask myself or ask Brother Wiggins or your Sunday school teacher or one of our other pastors in here some advice as to where to serve. Commit. Jump in with both feet. Give it your all. Don't just dawdle around. And then commence. Get going. See the difference you can make and then continue. Don't allow the devil to discourage you. Amen. I want to see our church continue to go forward, and we're so thankful for all the work that's being done and has been done, and we must continue to do the work of the Lord. We must work till Jesus comes. O land of rest for thee, I sigh. When will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and rest with thee at home? We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work who? All of us. All of us together as one body. Working together, no schisms, no distractions, but lining up together, arm in arm, working together for the Lord. Let's go through tonight as we look at some of the various ministries of the church, and we'll start with the Getting Plugged In. Again, that's the title of this, Getting Plugged In. It's our same title every year. And we should get plugged in, a ministry involvement. Where do you fit in? There are many ministries of the church. In fact, I was looking through this. We did not even include the Heritage Christian Academy. But the bookstore is an area you can get involved in. I'm going through it now. Are we ready? Bookstore. And again, to provide some reading material and study material for the for you guys, all we do is we purchase books and Bibles, and we just pass it on at the church's cost. The bookstore never makes any money. In fact, it loses money on a continual basis, on purpose, because we want to see you get the information and books and things that you need. But we do have opportunity for help there. Miss Carla runs that ministry, and so it's open 30 minutes after the services, and she could use a helper. If you're interested in that, see Miss Carla. Wave your hand, Miss Carla. And see Miss Carla. She'd love to have you help her. Bus Ministry, this is a ministry we started this summer. We've started one in the past, and so this is kind of a re-up. This is about our third time to try to start a bus ministry. And I appreciate my son, Caleb, and then Brother Dickerson's willingness to start this once again. And I believe our intention this time is to go forward no matter what. Isn't that right, Brother Dickerson? And so whether we're running 3 or running 40, we're going to have a bus ministry. We've already seen, how many did we see saved? 6? 5? Yeah. 6? 6 saved from the bus ministry this summer? And we baptized, I believe, 2 of those, and we have 1 more that's going to get, next week, that's going to get baptized. Amen? So it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. But there is some need for help there with Brother Dickerson. By the way, Brother Dickerson does work a full-time job. He is part-time here as well. And he needs help. He needs help. And maybe some of you would like to even participate and be a part of the bus ministry. And it's a needy area. Care Counseling Ministry, we appreciate Miss Linda Smith as she is continuing her education, and she's now working on getting actually being state certified in counseling. She's already Christian certified through various Christian organizations, but actually getting her state certification and working with the counselors here across the street, which, by the way, are a good bunch of people. Mr. Slaughter is an amazing man. He was a former pastor, a Baptist, very conservative guy, and I would recommend him wholeheartedly and his wife. But Miss Linda is doing her, I said all that because they're being kind to us. And Miss Linda is doing her practicum through them, almost like apprenticeship or whatever. But she has to have so many hours with a certified counselor in order to get her certification. And they have given that to her, and just a great bunch of people. And so Miss Linda's available. Miss Linda's available for counseling, ladies. She's available here for you. And men as well, families, whatever we can do to help. There's not only am I available for family counseling. I always tell people I'm available to counsel, marriage counseling, but I'm going to do about 4 weeks and that's all. Because pretty well I can sit down with you in 4 weeks and say, I can get the kind of what's going on, and I say, here's what the Bible says. Now you do this. That didn't take me very long. All right. I'm not a trained counselor. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I know the Bible, I believe, fairly well. I know what it says about marriage, and so I just simply give that out. Now, I like the his needs, her needs, and we go through that when I counsel others, but pretty well, in 4 weeks, I can give you all that I know, and I'm done. And then if you need more than that, I'll pass you off to Miss Linda and so forth. There's someone else, and so I appreciate Miss Linda. Children's Church, Children and Preschool Choir, I appreciate Brandon and Jessica, who continue to lead this ministry and did a fine job this morning, didn't they? And this is an area we can always need help with, corralling kids, if you would like to do that. Miss Julie Latta has taken the little bitty ones. Again, good for her. And they do a good job, too. I've enjoyed their music, and so it's a needy area. Children's Church with Brother Dickerson. Again, the objectives are there for you. You can read those. Again, in this particular ministry, just needing adults to help with songs and memorizing and preaching. And it's organized in three different layers. Toddler Church, which Miss Holder and Miss Edie, appreciate them. They're up there every week. And that just amazes me. And the Children's Church and Junior Church, it's on a rotation basis. And so you can sign up to work in Junior Church and Children's Church. And there's also some who sign up for toddlers too, isn't there? And they sign up and you can rotate in every 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. So it's not something you have to miss every service for. And so I encourage you to do that. They can always need help. There's not a time in which they don't need help. always need help. So there's opportunities, object lessons, missionary stories, preachers. So if you would like to teach, you would like to preach, this is an area which you can get involved in. Workers to sit amongst the kids. By the way, workers to sit amongst the kids. Workers shouldn't be sitting at the back of it. Workers should be sitting in amongst the kids, right? Amen? Amen? I don't know if it's going on or not. I just like to address it as I come to it. Song leaders, help with the dismissal, all these areas. Choir. This is one area. Our church is still one of the most unusual in the entire United States of America. We have more men than we do ladies. I have no idea why that happens. I go out to Lancaster, I go up to Heartland, I go to these other places, and the ladies always outnumber the men by double. By double. What's going on? Ladies, a lot of you have beautiful voices. Beautiful voices. You could be singing for the Lord. You know, get involved. I'm not saying the men, we need men too. Come on, men. But get involved. We have about 40 regular choir members, and we could, I'm telling you, we'll just keep adding. So, love to have 45 regular choir members. And it does, it's the first, one of the very first things, by the way, the first thing people see is the ushers. It's important, and they do such a great job. We have wonderful ushers. But the second thing, the most thing that people really see more than anything is the choir. What a vital part you have in not only preparing and getting us ready for the preaching and so forth, and really setting the mood for the worship service, but also it has an impression upon the people who come and the visitors who come. So encourage you to be a part of that. Discipleship, Brother Wiggins runs the discipleship. We do discipleship with people one-on-one on Wednesday nights during the service. And that way we have babysit, we have the nurseries available. And so this is an area some of you have been through. How many of y'all been through the discipleship in this church? Good, several of you, see. It's a great area. And so I appreciate Brother Wiggins running this. Brother Cox is really taking up the reins in this as well. Appreciate him. And if you would like to be a part of the discipleship program, you can. So what you would do is you would go through the disciple. Listen, you would be discipled first, and then you could turn around and you would become a discipler. That'd be awesome. And you disciple somebody one-on-one. And so this might be an area you'd be interested in getting involved in. And then we have the HBBI and Brother Zellner on Thursday nights, the designed again to give kind of a Bible college type curriculum, giving by Brother Zellner, who's a longtime pastor for many years. He's a great teacher. You'd enjoy that. I encourage you. If you want to go further in your Bible study, further in your Bible knowledge, Thursday night's a great way to do that. And there are no tests. So you get the Bible on a college level, but no tests. Isn't that a great? Amen. And I appreciate Brother Zellner, who's faithful in doing that. I appreciate Brother Zellner, period, by the way. I am teaching a class on Thursday morning out at the Norris Seminary, and I'm teaching the Pentateuch. And this semester, all I'm teaching is the book of Genesis. And I've gone six lessons, which are 2.5 hours long each. I've gone six lessons now, and I'm just now getting out of Genesis chapter 1. It's awesome. And Brother Zellner printed off for me his 30 lessons on Genesis. And though I'm not particularly using them in my class, he gave me permission to print them off for the students so they could have a copy of it to take when they go pastor somewhere. And man, what a wonderful thing. And Brother Zellner has lots of lessons that have been put together over his years of ministry. And what a blessing. Anyway, I want to compliment him and thank him publicly for all he does. Hospitality, Miss Bobby Van Fleet. Yay, Miss Bobby. And pray, thank the Lord she, here in the last couple of weeks, has taken the reins of this ministry again. And appreciate Miss Schuler, who did it for so long and her absence. And Miss Schuler will still be the right-hand man in this. And there'll be others who'll be a part of, right-hand lady in this. But the object of here is to encourage and help people when they're sick and when they're coming out of surgery, to help with meals and so forth. So if you would like to help prepare meals or help prepare food for people who do go home after a sickness, or someone who has a baby, or various things in which we provide meals for, also for funerals, then you can just simply get on the list and she'll call you when she has a need. So you'll see Miss Bobby after the service. She'll be here somewhere, and you just help her and sign up for that, okay? Local outreach is our soul winning visitation ministry, and Again, as I preach this morning, we're to bear fruit. And so we have this Tuesday night soul winning, Saturday morning soul winning. I did not, on purpose this morning, mention a whole lot about Tuesday and Saturday during my message. Because bearing fruit is to be all the time. All the time. But one of the things as a Christian that happens to us as we get older in our Christian faith is our circle of influence gets smaller and smaller and smaller. There are people in this room who, for the most part, do not see any lost people all day long, every week. Or their circle of influence is so small they may only see two or three, and they've already witnessed to them, and maybe they're still working on them, but they don't have the opportunity really to talk to anyone else. Is that kind of obvious? That your circle of influence gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Your friends, as the longer you're a Christian, the more your friends are Christians, right? When you first get saved, you'll have lost friends, a lot of them. And we see a lot of them saved. That's awesome. But as you're a Christian longer, your circle gets smaller. And so one of the ways in which you can fulfill the Great Commission is to come out on Tuesday and Saturday, because it may be the only opportunity that you have, because of your circle has gotten smaller, for you to bear fruit. And so all of us should be involved, especially our teachers and workers, to be a good example, and our finance team to be a good example, to be out and be a part of the outreach program of the church. When you come to Tuesday or Saturday, there are several different ways in which you can go out. You can go door-to-door soul winning if you want. You can knock on a door and talk to somebody about the Lord. You can welcome a new move-in. We have some new move-in bags. And for those who move into our community, you just say, hey, I'm from Heritage Baptist Church. Welcome to the community. We just want to invite you to church if you don't attend anywhere. And then you can follow up on new church visitors, people who visit our church. This will be on Tuesday nights. We have those visits available for people to follow up on. Visiting absentees. We try our very best to keep up with those members who are not attending and making sure everything's okay and following up with them. And then visiting church and Sunday school prospects. So we're always needing help in areas of helping stuff the new visitors' bags and silent partners in these areas. So encourage you to be a part. Be a part of the soul winning kickoff. Sign up. Master's Clubs. This is our children's program on Wednesday night. And this is there to evangelize and disciple and teach spiritual and to spiritually grow and teach our children. And so this is an opportunity here for workers to help with substitute workers. And I'm sure we could use any help in there as possible. So if you're not involved somewhere, I always tell new members, a great area to get involved in at the very first is to volunteer for Children's Church. You'll be on a rotation of 4, 5, 6 weeks. If you want a more consistent ministry, you can volunteer for Master's Club. And you can be up there every Wednesday night and help in that area. You can new members can get involved in those areas. So and whether or not you've been a member for a year or 10 years or whatever, but it's a great place to be. Nursery. Miss Schuler is over this ministry. And listen, every lady who's physically able ought to be involved in helping with the babies. You say, well, the men ought to do it. The men can't do it. The Christian Law Association says there should not be men in there. Anyway, that's the day and age which we live in. But ladies, encourage you, sign up tonight. Miss Schuler would love to have your help. And you'll be on a rotation. It doesn't mean you'll be in there every Sunday. You'll be on a rotation basis and certainly be willing to do that. Nursing home with Brother Wiggins. This is a ministry that has really began to take off, and we have the nursing home every Sunday afternoon, I think. Are we still off on the first Sunday? I forget. So about three Sundays a month and the afternoons, on Sunday afternoons, and then a couple of Tuesdays, I believe, during the month. And so this is an area you can get involved in, and they always need help with singing and helping and putting people together. And there's a good group of people that are helping now, but they could use more. Puppet ministry. It's an awesome little ministry to be involved in. You can get involved in this ministry and teach the Word of God with puppets. And you can actually help with the puppets ministry and be back in the auditorium in time for the preaching. So you'll miss the music, but you wouldn't have to miss the preaching. So if you would see Brother Dickerson for that, if you'd like to get involved in that. Brother Charles Miller is in charge of our safety team. And I went to a legal seminar a couple of weeks ago with the Christian Law Association. And this is an area in which churches are really having to be careful in. And so we have a safety team here. And we can call it security team. Churches are exempt from that rule. But these guys walk around in the services, especially Sunday morning, Sunday night, watching the parking lot, trying to head off. And, of course, our rule is that if they see something out of order, they call the police. Call 911. Don't try to take care of it yourself. We don't want nobody getting hurt. Amen? Just call 911. By the way, we've done that a couple of times. The last time we did it, they were here in less than 5 minutes. And about 7 minutes later, there were six patrol cars here. And they take it seriously when a church calls. I promise you that. So a safety team, that's a good area. And you'll be on a rotation, so you won't have to do it every Sunday. Sunday school is an area you can get involved in. And right now, we have 50 teachers and workers and helpers, 16 classes. We do need some substitute teachers. And what we would like to do, the way it should be set up, and we're trying to set it up this way, is get some substitute teachers who eventually we would start new classes down the road who can become the teacher down the road. And so I want to encourage some of you who would like to substitute teach. It's a good way for you to get your foot in. And so next ministry, see Brother Wiggins for that, is the Uplink ministry. This is our website ministry, our web ministry, our video ministry, our live streaming video. And we have 4,996 people have visited our website up to this point in 2014, almost 5,000 people, unique people. So that means they're not the same person. 5,000. That's amazing, isn't it? There are 2,383 videos that have been archived, have been watched off our website. That's amazing as well. Users watch live online from their desktop, 772. From the mobile, look at this. From the mobile phone, 1,259. A total of 2,031 up to this point this year have watched live streaming video. And I'm sure there's some watching now. It's awesome, isn't it? It's an awesome ministry. And you can get involved. And now we do kind of have a rotation going on back there. The guy's rotating in and out. And you can get involved. You can be trained how to use it, how to do those things. And Brother Adam Armstrong would love to help you in training that. Brother Phil Hokett's over our ushers and greeters ministry. And this is an area in which you can be involved in helping take up the offering and collect the offering and be involved in greeting people at the door. Thank the Lord for our ushers. They do a tremendous job. And they are the first people that people see when they come into our building. It's very important. And they count and secure the offerings and so forth. And so we always need alternate ushers. And if you would like to be a part of the ushers ministry, see Brother Hokett, part of greeting people and shaking their hands. And it's amazing how you can go on vacation and go to another church and walk in the door of another church and nobody ever greets you. I like people to go on vacations and go visit other churches. It really makes you appreciate yours. Amen. It really does. It does for me. And so you'd be surprised how many churches are not very friendly. We are. And we love that. Appreciate Brother Hokett. Welcome Center. And again, this is an opportunity for you to welcome people. I appreciate we have several families that do this that sit at the Welcome Center who help sign people in who are visiting and getting the little sticker thingies and all of that. And so Miss Donya Wiggins is in charge of that and getting that rotation. So see her if you would like to be a part of that ministry. Yard maintenance. And so I appreciate those over the years who've helped with this. Back before we had Brother Campbell, many people were involved in this, from Brother Summers to Tim Abrams. I always point to Tim Abrams. Tim Abrams did more mowing at the yard over at the Norris when we were there. I thank the Lord for people who have in the past helped us. No way. We have 17 and a half acres. It's hard to maintain the whole properties. And so if you would like to help during the week, you have a day off, you want to come up and help mow, let us know. Okay, we'll try to work that out and get you put in there. But Brother Campbell has really been a blessing in that area. But we certainly don't want to put off anybody who would like to volunteer to help in that ministry. Building maintenance, I just always tell people, listen, we always need help here. We have an electrician who helps us here in the church. He's a blessing. We now have an AC guy who used to be a carpenter and who helps now. And we have various people who help and do, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And so if you have an expertise in some area, please mark it on that page that's in your book, and that we could help and maybe even get counsel from you as needed and help, and there's opportunities there. We're having light issues on the outside of the building. I don't know if you've noticed that. We hope to get that fixed up here in the next couple of weeks to get a permanent fix. We've been having trouble for a few years, and so we hope to get those fixed. So it's a constant battle at the building, but we certainly want to keep the building and be a good steward of God's building. Amen. Amen. And so if you see something that I tell you, we can get used to the building, we get used to how it looks, and sometimes you begin to overlook something. And so if you see something that bothers you, number one, take the initiative, come to me and say, hey, preacher, I'll fix it. Don't just be a complainer, right? Okay, everybody's quiet. But we certainly do want to know if something's broke. And our policy around here, if it's broke, fix it. Because if we don't fix it now, then the unfixable things or unfixed things will add up over the, you know, then all of a sudden, a year from now or 2 years from now, you're having to fix 20 things instead of one thing. Instead of it costing $100 now, it costs $10,000 then. We just replaced an air conditioner in the children's church room, you know, $2,500. And so those things happen. We want to keep those things up to going. Youth ministry, Brother Latta, doing a great job, him and his wife. And they have really grown in the last few months. We need a gym for them. Y'all need to start praying. I know it's 5 after and I'm just talking and everybody wants to go home. But the Cowboys already won, so we're good. We do need a gym. If the church had the money now, we'd vote and do it. I think it would be one of those votes that would be easy to get the votes we need to pass and do it. But we have some debt and we have some other things that we have to. But we need a gym. I go to the mailbox every day to check the mail at the church, and I'm just praying God's going to do something to provide the funds that we need to see that it happens. And so we need a gym. We need a gym for the youth department. We need a gym for the school. And we need a gym for fellowship. We can't fit everybody in the fellowship hall anymore. There's just no way to fit everybody in. The kitchen's too small, ladies. See, we could vote right now. And we could get a vote. And we could pass this and go. We need a gym. And so we want to build a gym in the center of the football field. And just need about $1.5 million. Probably about $1.5 million. What my thoughts right now are is that we could build it and not finish all of it. Build the gym, finish the gym out, but leave the commercial kitchen unfinished. I mean, there's areas we could do to cut back the costs and then finish it in phases like we did the last building. So, you know, there's ways we could get around maybe the 1.5 and get it down to, you know, 900,000 or something and just get in the gym and then work our way into it. Y'all don't think about this stuff like I do you? I sit at night thinking about it. God's going to give us a gym. It's going to happen. So anyway, pray for it. But appreciate our youth and doing a fantastic job and being involved. And I appreciate, I know Brother Latta would say the same thing, appreciate our church willingness to support the youth department. It takes money to do so. Honestly, it takes about $30,000 a year to promote, keep our youth busy, and so forth. And it's important. It's important. And we see the results of it, don't we? Proof's in the pudding. Amen. We see. Anyway, God's been good to us. By the way, they passed out 1,500 of the flyers yesterday in tracts. That's just tremendous. And by the way, we shouldn't let them beat us, adults. Come on. We need you guys to sign up tonight. Take some maps and some flyers. And then, huh? No, we don't need to let them win. A good life experience lesson?
Golly.
All right, and the last page is miscellaneous opportunities. And this is kind of where I want to encourage you. If you are in a phase in life where you have some extra time during the week and you would like to come up and be a receptionist at our church, we would love to have you. In fact, we would greatly love to have you. It would free up our secretaries if you would come and answer the phone and do those type of things. In other words, there's some things, and there are some ladies in the church who have been helping us with this a little bit, but we need more help. It would be a great blessing. And some men, even, who can enter stuff into the computers and all that kind of whatever that stuff is. Yeah, I have no idea. So, but anyway, we could use the help. And so encourage you in that area. I want to encourage you to fill out the test and then take that form and fill this out. And give it to my wife or Miss Donya. Is there some place they could put them maybe back on the table somewhere? Because if we don't do something with them, we'll never get them back. I'd like for you to fill them out before you leave. Because if you take them home, we'll never get them back. All right, just lay them on one of those tables in front of the sound booth there, okay? Just lay them on one of those tables and do that, okay? So take the gift test, fill out the paper, And then paste those on there or give them to one of the staff. And we appreciate that very, very much. And I hope that you'll pray about where God would have you to be involved. what also tonight is not just showing you the need that we have for more workers, but also showing you the overall ministries. Takes a lot of volunteers to get the job done. Amen? Takes a lot of volunteers. And we're appreciative of all those who volunteer to see souls saved, to see the work get done. And without you, it just won't happen. It just won't happen. And another quote from Paul Chappell: a staff-run church is a staff-ruined church. And if we're simply going to hire staff to do everything, we can't do it. It's impossible. Impossible. The work will never get done. It has to be done by all of us working together. All of us working together. We see the results of that and the fruit of that. Okay, so fill out the gift test. And let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation. I know that the last part of the session didn't lend towards that, but the first part did. And so it is important that all of us get plugged in somewhere. And it's an area you need to pray about. Where would God have me to serve? And maybe you have served in the past, and maybe you've kind of let up a little bit. And whether you've gotten distracted or discouraged, or life got busy, and maybe now you're available to get involved, whatever that is, pray about it. And then seek some advice, and go to one of these tables tonight and sign up. Say, hey, I'm interested in this, and do that. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love, and we thank you that you have placed in the church various members of the body in order to see the work of God go forward. And I pray tonight that we would be actively involved in the church, all of us, in seeing the gospel being spread around the world. We ask this in your name.